Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Family Talk. I'm your host, James Dobson, and I'm here with one of my colleagues, Dr. Meg Meeker, and it's a pleasure to have a chance to work together today, particularly because we have a very special guest with us. Rebecca Hagland is a savvy businesswoman, an author, mother of three grown children, married to Andy, a great guy, and she's also on the board of directors here at Family Talk. She's a great friend to Shirley and me and has been a strong advocate of the family unit all across the nation. Rebecca is president of her own marketing company. It's called Communications and Marketing LLC. And she is into so many things it'd take the rest of the week to tell you about them. She has a brand new book that's coming out May 1st, but you can order it right now online and have it shipped in time for Mother's Day. The title of the book is 30 Ways in 30 Days to Strengthen Your Family, and it's an updated version of an earlier work, and it is chock full of practical information that I know our listeners are going to want to take advantage of. It's full of wisdom, and it's especially related to today's morally toxic society. And Rebecca, I'm going to start right there, because if I understand your theme, and I do, you are very, very concerned about the kind of world we're raising our kids in, especially in the Western world, in America. You're really attempting to offer some tools and ideas and encouragement to parents about trying to keep your kids moral and to bring them through the minefields of a toxic culture. Isn't that what your primary purpose is?
Yes, that's exactly right. And it's such a joy to be with you and Dr. Meg today. And, you know, I started studying these issues really when I was in high school, long before I was even married. And as I became a parent of my own and was raising kids, and I started writing a weekly column on family issues and studying social science and policy, and I just started getting all of these emails from parents asking questions about, you know, how they could raise their children with respect and how they could fight against what was often being shoved down their throats in the public school system, and how do they avoid pornography, and how can they stand up and, you know, really stand up against a system that they feel is breaking down their family and their relationships, and all of these questions. And so I started writing more and researching more about those issues, and so now this third book that's coming out is really designed to help moms and dads who, in their hearts, they know that something is amiss in the culture. They don't feel like they're getting any help from any of the regular institutions that used to come along beside families and support them. And they just need some practical daily guidelines. Yeah. So I took pretty much the 30 most commonly asked questions I was getting and did a lot of research on them and put together what I just call a practical handbook for parents that, you know, teaches them everything from how to keep their kids online, safe online, to how to establish a family quiet time, to how to be your child's parent, not their best friend, just pretty much any daily problem that parents face. I wanted to put together a practical resource for them.
Well, that research and the time you've put into it is going to be very, very helpful to parents, because there are a lot of questions out there that are difficult to answer. By the way, your daughter Kristen has worked with you on this book, hasn't she?
Yes. My daughter is 24 years old and has been married for 2 years. And when I did a first iteration of this book about 6 or 7 years ago, she was still in high school. It was the end of her high school years. And so when I was updating this book, it became really obvious to me that it would be very important to get the feedback from somebody who had lived under some of these teachings, that was a young adult. So at the end of each chapter, she has written her reflections and her thoughts about the principle that's discussed in the chapter and the practical how-tos. And in some chapters, she might have even tweaked it a little bit.
you know what caused me to laugh out loud, LOL, is she wrote that having your mother write a book about the culture is a terrifying experience.
Yes. And she says in there that when she first offered to help me go through the first edition 6 or 7 years ago in high school, that although she's now got a degree in journalism, she's a brilliant writer on her own, but when she was in high school and she was already interested in journalism, she was doing it under the auspices of helping me edit it. But she says she was also really doing it to make sure I wasn't going to say anything in there that would embarrass her.
Yeah.
And when you're 16, as I think she was, 16 to 17, everything embarrasses you. Everything about your home is embarrassing. So.
But we made it through. And I think one thing that having her do her reflections at the end of every single chapter is not only does it validate to parents that the materials do work that I talk about, but it also, I think, opens up kind of a new field for young women to start reading these ideas before they start having their own family, so they can begin to understand the culture and go into marriage, for instance, understanding what the principles are going to be that make a marriage work. Because one thing that we did with this book as well, we added a whole new chapter just on marriage, which I'm very excited about, because Andy and I, my wonderful husband, and I have been married for over 30 years. And, you know, we're of one generation. And then my daughter and her awesome husband, Randy, have been married for two. So we jointly wrote the chapter on marriage. Two women from two different generations with two different perspectives, but who share the same commitment to biblical values and principles and how we approach marriage.
Well, that's a great chapter, and I want to recommend it.
You know, Rebecca, you and I both have 24-year-olds, and we're the same generation. And I think is when you first wrote the book and your daughter was 16 and now she's 24, so much has changed for parents in just those 8 years.
Yes.
I hear a lot about electronics and how much screen time is okay for kids. But I wanted to start off our discussion with you directly speaking to mothers and fathers out there who feel completely overwhelmed. And they look at this toxic culture that you and I recognize and they get what we're saying. And they wonder, can I really do it? Can I really rein in the amount of screen time my child has? Can I really help my kids not be sexually active until they're married? Can I really teach my kids biblical values? What do you say to those parents?
Yes, I say I understand the overwhelming feeling. And I tell you, it is a message straight from the pits of hell that the odds are stacked against you as a mom and dad, and that it's overwhelming, and you can't do it. You know, our enemy seeks to destroy. And the way he does that with parents is by telling us the battle is lost, don't fight, it's gone, it's over. And so what I did, and what I think I get a lot of positive feedback from parents, as I've talked about this for several years, the first thing you do is you wake up each morning with a prayer in your heart. Dear Lord, please help me on this day, on this one day, to love my child so much that I dare to stand in the gap, to uphold the principles that you've set for me and for my children and my husband and our marriage on this one day. You know, God says each day he gives grace that's sufficient for that day, and that we pray for the grace, and that we commit to that daily battle every day. You know, one of the big things is to realize your battle is not with your child. Your battle is with the enemy who has sought to murder and destroy and defeat children and families since the beginning of mankind. And when you realize that it's a spiritual battle, obviously the first step you take is to become spiritually armed. Mm-hmm. And to realize to love unconditionally as Christ loves, to have everything be done with joy from the Lord that he gives us, and to realize that we can be victors if we just follow Christ's rules and Christ's guidelines for our families and for our relationship with our children.
And it works. It does work. And I love that you say, you know, the kids are not the problem. So when you wake up in the morning and you're praying for your child, you and your child are on the same team. And you can win with that child. Mm-hmm. But many times parents think, well, you know, it's me against my child. You know, my child's going to fall into all this stuff. No, you start committing to the battle, as you said in your first point. But you also link arms with your child and you let them know that you're in it together. That makes all the difference in the world. And you can win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can win. I mean, I have a whole chapter called Battle the Culture, Not Your Child. And it really kind of goes into some of the intense marketing science that those who seek to pass on their worldview to your children instead of a Christian and godly worldview use. Now, my field is marketing, so I understand the science of advertising and marketing. And one of the things I do is I just outline for parents a little bit about the crass marketers, for instance, those who create the MTV garbage programming, which highly sexualizes girls and really teaches boys that all they are doing is they're stupid and they're just operating according to their hormones and that's okay, is that they actually brag about not how they understand the teenage mind, but how they understand how to manipulate the teenage mind. And when parents understand that and can sit down and go over some of that with your children, the last thing a preteen and a teenager wants to do is be used and manipulated by anyone. But they don't realize they are. But when parents take the time to discuss that with your children and have the tools in front of them, then the children realize, wait a minute, I don't want to be manipulated. And who's the person that's going to love me, who's in my home, who I can turn to? That's my mom and my dad. And, you know, so one of the key messages is mom and dad have tremendous power and influence over their children. Mm-hmm. And poll after poll shows that when children are asked who influences them the most, the answer resoundingly is my mother and dad. The problem is mom and dad try to give up.
Yeah.
Their role as influencing their children.
They think the kids don't want to talk to them about that, but in fact they do.
They do.
Children, when they're asked what makes them happiest in life, it's not technology. Friends is high on the list, but it's not number one. What makes them happiest in life is a relationship with their mother and father. That's the key. And the key is it's not that you can't, that you're not going to be an influence with your children. You will be whether you accept it or not. It's whether you're a good, positive influence or whether your influence is on them is that you've disappeared out of their lives. You're too busy for them. And so your influence becomes, my mom and dad don't really care enough about me to ever talk to me.
You know, I've been thinking about these very issues for a long, long time. It's worse now. It's more difficult to raise healthy kids now, but it's not a new phenomenon. And one of my early books, I don't remember which one, I talked about something called the hallway of doors. In order to get from childhood through to adulthood, they are required almost by the nature of things to walk this long, dark hallway. And it's got doors on both sides, and there are words on each of the doors. One of them says illicit drugs. And as the individual walks past there, he hears bands playing and he hears people laughing, and it sounds like they're having a lot of fun over there. And his temptation is to reach out and open that door. But he walks on down a ways, and there is, of course, alcohol, and there is sex in all of its perversions, and there's gambling, and there's pornography. They sound like they're having an awful lot of fun over there. And the natural tendency is to open one of those doors. And for a certain percentage of the people, including pornography at about 13 or 14 years of age, they reach out and open one of those doors. And I'm telling you, a monster will run out and grab them and pull them in and hold them there in many cases for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Many of the men today that I talk about and talk to who are addicted to pornography encountered it. They opened the door in the early teens and got captured by it. So as parents, we've got to help them prepare for the temptations of the laughter on the other side of those doors. I don't know if that makes sense, but it certainly puts the parent responsibility into focus, because that's what even the kids from good, solid Christian homes are going to have to encounter.
Oh, I love that visual of the hall of doors. And you're so right about, you know, pornography and all the temptations. And what we as parents have to realize is the door of family, the sounds that come behind that door of family have got to be joyous and loving and just really exude unconditional joy and love. And for the parents who are struggling and feeling like this has got to be an angry battle and I have to have a list of do's and don'ts in my household, if you just have a list of do's and don'ts, you will fail. You know, in Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Christian walk is a joyous, peaceful, fulfilling life. And that's the sounds that our children need to hear from our lips, realizing that their fulfillment and their purpose in life is going to come through recognizing who they are in Christ, and their strength to overcome the temptations is going to come. And who are they going to learn that from? They're going to learn that from mom and dad, because they're not going to learn it anywhere else in the culture. Now, obviously, a good, solid church is a wonderful place, and I highly talk about that in my books as a wonderful place you've got to connect. But first and foremost, that message of the joy of the Lord that's going to draw them in is going to start in the home.
Yeah, and the parents need to make it clear that you're on their side.
Yes.
You're not at war with them and trying to make them miserable and embarrassing them in front of their friends and so on. I came out of a very conservative Christian home. My dad was a pastor, and there were a lot of things that other kids did that I could not do and didn't do. But my mother made every effort. She was such a wise woman. She made every effort to let me know that she understood the struggles and the temptations and the problems were out there. There was in my high school a thing called slumber parties that would today probably sound like it was not very wholesome. But the girls would, after football games, would host a slumber party at one of the girls' houses, and their parents knew about it and were probably there. And the guys would come over and crash. Now, we only stayed till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't do anything wrong. I don't even remember any alcohol, nothing that was unsavory there. But many parents would say, oh, no, you're not going to do that. Well, my mother let me do that. And sometimes I would come in at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because she knew she could trust me. And I appreciated the fact that she did, and I never took advantage of it. So there are times like that where you really have to get into your child's world and do everything you can for to compensate for the things that they absolutely can't do and you must not allow them to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I've got a chapter about make your home inviting, warm, and fun. And if you make your home the safe place where teenagers know they can come and feel loved and accepted, and you're there, and you approach each child who walks through their door as if God put that child in your pathway, you will connect to your children's friends, and they will connect to you for years to come, and they will want to come to your home. Mm-hmm. And then I add the practical stuff like, feed them and they will come.
Yeah,
it is there wonderful.
Yeah, that's true.
The front door was always open to our teenagers' friends, and it was they were always at our house.
You know, I'm the same way, and I came from a large family, and we have four kids, and our home was always very much like that. And I wanted to add to that, Rebecca. I think that, and I've seen Christian parents even read into that. Well, if my home is open, and I'm feeding kids and we're having fun, then I'm expected to be on their level and entertain them as though I'm one of them. And that's not true.
Uh-uh.
You know, because you have to invite them in but remain the adult and say, this is what I believe and this is what I don't believe and this is what I expect of you and this is what I don't expect of you. And when you set that standard, kids will come over even more frequently. I know, you know, it was hard on our kids, I think, growing up in a small town where they had the mother who went everywhere she could telling teenagers not to be sexually active.
Meg, I need you to clarify the fact that you were speaking as a professional. You were invited to come in to classrooms and into the churches and speak about the dangers of illicit sex and so on.
Exactly, exactly.
And that did not embarrass your kids.
No. And actually, they would go with me. I went out of state. Matter of fact, I testified at a congressional hearing years and years ago, and I took my 17-year-old daughter with me. And they were so proud because they knew I was fighting for them. I wasn't fighting against them.
And that's the point you're making, Rebecca.
Yes.
Well, it is. And the point that Meg just made about being the parent, again, I have a chapter on that. Be your child's parent, not their best friend. Teenagers don't need another drifting peer. They need a parent. Our kids today are looking for the foundation. They want to know the foundation upon which to base their lives on. They want to know the rules. They want to know where the walls are. They're not going to come out and tell you that. But when you invite children into your home and you look and you have conversations with each one and I individually and have conversations with them very briefly, you know, before they go and they go over to watch the movie or play the games or whatever you have for them, they are going to feel connected to you. Because one of the things that it's really important for us all to realize is we're living in a country of brokenness. You know, for every 50 babies that are born in the United States of America today, over 60% are born into brokenness. That is, they're either born out of wedlock or to a family that will soon suffer divorce. And when your home is a stable, loving environment and you're an adult who's interested in them genuinely in their lives, they will come to your home. And we're all talking about how that's 2 years later. I mean, my daughter's 24, my son's 27, my other son is 28 years old. My 27-year-old son's friends still come to our home in Florida once a year, about 15 of them as adults, because they know that we love them as people and as individuals, and it started when they were younger.
You know, we have on the phone today Rebecca Hagelin and Dr. Meg Meeker, that our listeners know well as a co-host of this broadcast. But Rebecca, you got a ton of information that in this book. We're going to devote at least another day to this topic, and we're going to have to go today, and we're going to have to go quickly. Thank you for being our guest, and we'll pick up right here next time.
Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Wow, that was a lot of great information from three parenting experts. If you missed even a minute of it, I strongly urge you to download the broadcast at drjamesdobson.org or get a CD copy to listen to again and again. And while you're there, follow the link to Rebecca Hagelin's book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Strengthen Your Family. You know, with Mother's Day just around the corner, we're reaching out to moms in a very special way. Moms, we want to know what matters most to you. We want to ensure that our broadcasts and digital resources continue to meet your needs. Go to drjamesdobson.org/blessmoms to take our 2-minute mom survey. At Family Talk, we count it an honor and privilege to encourage thousands of mothers every day through our broadcasts, social media, website, and mobile apps. Go to drjamesdobson.org/blessmoms and let us hear from you. I'm Jim Valheis. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.